welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and find at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Bob Benuta, BobBenuta.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Justin Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Contraman Ali of TheContraman.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Ms. Aida.com in Detroit, Michigan, bringing us today's topic of her new book, Cursing and Cursing, and Take Advantage of your Enemies. We'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divine and prescribed the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but we are checking from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo platform, and called into the show, and you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Ms. Kat and Contraman Ali. Ms. Kat?
Hi, Papa Newt. Hello. This is so funny. Folks, I know a secret about Papa Newt. He has a beautiful, fresh haircut, right? You'd think I was psychic. I could, like, read through the ether. Ooh, Papa Newt got a haircut. Or maybe you'd think I just saw it on Facebook, but I saw Papa Newt's haircut in person.
Yeah.
Papa Newt is here at the Lucky Mojo Curio Company. He's down in my office, the Yippie office. That's the Ironwood Institution for the Preservation and Popularization of Indigenous Ethnomagicology office, which I share with Nagashiva, my husband. And he's down there doing the announcing. And Professor Ames is wandering the grounds. He's out under the pergola. He said he's going to listen live. And Ryan,
yes,
friend,
right
is
now.
Here. And, they're here. And Carol Wysocki von Strauss. Robin Peterson, Sister Robin, the woman who edited the Hoodoo Food Cookbook. She's here. She just came by to help stock the shelves because she's worked here for many years. And she's gone back to college, and she's doing a whole nother life. But she just dropped in to stock the shelves, and she still remembers all the SKUs.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice? She's stocking the shelves with statues, probably as I speak. Wonderful lady and a good friend. Heidi is running around like a little mad woman, her little Italian mad woman act. She's got little boxes, and she's moving things around. And Angela Marie dropped by to pick up some things for the train layout to take home and paint. A little dog taking a bubble bath. She's going to paint that and some cars. Daniel Smith is on the grounds making trains run. Rocky Carlson is making rocks grow. They are planting miniature redwood trees all around the property of the train layout. It's hysterical. They're beautiful. We're going to have more workers out on the train. It's just incredible. It's like just before Christmas at the North Pole. And that would make Nagashiva the Santa Claus. He has the beard to prove it. And he'd be, you know, not one of those big, fat, jolly Santas. He's one of those scrawny Nordic Santas, you know, the ones with the long beard and the thin body. And the presents are everywhere. I'm about to celebrate my 70th birthday, and I've been told my present is already provided for. And I'm just amazed that that happened, but I've got my present in store. And I know what I ask for. I asked Santa to bring me a Pacific Electric red car trolley, LGB. The real thing. So, and I think that Santa has provided with all his little elves, and I'm so happy. So we're getting ready for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. We have people who are here for the apprenticeship already starting to show up. The apprenticeship starts tomorrow. I will be teaching classes in bath crystals, the history of baths and washes, and how to make bath crystals. Then on Wednesday, we'll be doing the history of sachet powders and other types of cosmetic powders and then how to make them. And then on Friday, the great secret, how to make a jack ball. and keep it working for you. And so that is our agenda. And then on Saturday and Sunday, the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, we open our doors. At least 100 people are going to be on site. And we'll set up the tents, and it's going to be something spectacular. So that is my news from here. And I'll tell you, Papa Newt, it's a cute haircut. It's a cute haircut. All right. Now, and this is,
it's a birthday haircut.
So I believe this is a three Taurus show. We count how many Tauruses are in each show. We have one Taurus, two Taurus, three Taurus, four Taurus shows. This is a three Taurus show. Papa Newt just had a birthday. Happy birthday, Papa Newt.
Today?
I'm about to. When was Countryman Ellie's birthday? Are you still happening?
Mine is still happening. It hasn't passed yet.
When is yours?
Mine's
the 15th.
The 15th. Okay. Well, it's all Taurus birthdays.
It's all Taurus birthdays. Yes, we're all within a short period of time.
Right. And Miss Beverly Smith, who's the host of the radio show In the Streets with Beverly Smith, she's going to be up here teaching, and she's also having her Taurus birthday. It's the Taurus cluster. So
happy birthday to all the Tauruses.
Yeah, happy birthday to all the Tauruses. How are you doing down in Southern California, Countryman Ollie?
I am doing great. I've been traveling for the past week, which is why I wasn't here last week. And I went to our nation's capital, so that's always quite fun. And it was dreadfully hot and muggy. And as a person who enjoys nice, cool springtime weather down in Southern California, the humidity was crazy. I'm still a little bit in transit. I'm going to be arriving home later tonight, so I'm a bit tired, but happy tired. Traveling is always great. It's always fun. And I am missing all of you. I wish I could join you all at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. If my conferences didn't overlap, I would definitely. But next year, for sure. Lots of hugs and kisses from me to all the wonderful people there, all my dear friends. And I wish I was there to celebrate your birthday, Kat, and give a big birthday hug to Papa Newt.
Yeah, well, we're going to miss you too, but you still have a couple more chances. We're going to do two more of these festivals, and that's then it's going to, we're going to fold our tents, literally, and that'll be the end. Oh, and for all my train friends, I have to say this too, for all the railroaders who listen to this show, and there are a few, we will be running trains pretty much all week while we're getting the system tuned up. But on Saturday and Sunday, if you are a member of Baggers or Riggers, and you'll know what those are if you are a member, wear your Baggers or Riggers badge, come on out, and you can take part in the Hoodoo Heritage Festival train section. We'll spot you a free lunch and free breakfast whenever you show up, and you can sit around and run trains, because we're having a dual situation. We're kind of like Disneyland. We have two lands. We have Hoodoo Land, and then we have train land, right?
Oh, that's so wonderful.
So they'll both be running. And but if you want to get in for the trains, just wear your Riggers badge or your Baggers badge, or if you got any kind of badge from any railroad club, you're more than welcome. All righty. Well, I'm going to bring in our guest, and this is in the chat room. Our technician said Labyrinth Land. That's right. We also have Labyrinth Land down in Labyrinth World. Boy, it's a theme park here. Anyway, let's bring in Miss Aida. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you all?
We're waiting your arrival imminently.
I know, and I'm scared. I've got, you know, three Taurians against one Aries, you know? All that dirt is going to put out the fire. So I don't know.
Well, I have Venus conjunct Mars in Aries, so I can do double duty as a sort of a pseudo Aries.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Now I feel safe.
Yeah, I also have Gemini rising. I'm kind of a smear of springtime, so I can get along with everybody. Well, Miss Aida, it's lovely to have you on the show. And every time you are on the show, we have so many listeners come into the chat room, and we also have a lot of people listen to the show in archive. When they realize they missed your show, the shows that have you on them, and a few other people, but you in particular, they find these shows in the archive. And because you are very popular, first of all, Miss Aida, for those who are new here and don't know her, she is the third admin of the Lucky Mojo Forum. So everyone knows her. Her name is in red in the forum. And she is the one who is in charge of all the moderators. And she is the one who does the, you know, administration of the forum, where you can go and ask questions. And, of course, we do keep chat logs of all of our shows there. And Miss Aida is has been a member of AIR for quite a while. She's just brought out her first book, Cursing and Crossing, Hoodoo Spells to Torment, Jinx, and Take Revenge on Your Enemies. And it has a cover with a skull on it against a dark red background. You will not miss it. When you look at that book from across the room, you'll go, what is that? It's a skull, but instead of crossbones, it has two railroad spikes driven through the thing. Oh, it's just amazing. And so she's going to be talking to us about cursing and crossing. But first, I want you to tell people, Miss Aida, a little bit about your work. You are out of Detroit, and that's a great place for hoodoo. There's a lot of very strong African-American population up there. But tell people a little bit about your background, where you come from, and how you got so good at cursing and crossing.
Well, I was born into a family that practiced magic. And since the day I was born, I was exposed to this. So I just assumed that everybody did. And I've watched my family do all kinds of things, and I've watched my family get revenge when they got double-crossed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started assisting at an early age. So it was just something that I was raised with.
That's
something
wonderful.
That I thought was normal for every family to do. And then when I got older, I realized it was just my family.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, you just assume everybody does it, right? When you're growing up in a household that does it.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me, too, because now you come out of a family that's more in the African traditional religious background, like what
right.
people would call Lukumi, Santeria, Ifa, Palo, those types of religions, right?
Right.
And
Brujeria.
But what?
And Brujeria.
Brujeria. Okay. See, my Spanish isn't quite up to yours. But like Candelo Cambisa, who is another person with a similar type
mm-hmm.
of background, when you found hoodoo, you kind of went, well, there's an African substrate here that's similar. So you took
right.
to hoodoo like a duck to water because it's there's overlaps and similarities. And
main reason, though. I just couldn't hurt another animal. I couldn't do it. You know, there's sacrifices
yeah.
in those realms. And one day I just had it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why hoodoo is perfect for me.
Yeah, so you're more into the magic and not so much into the animal sacrifice aspect of the religion, and I hear you on that. I know that's a hard road for some people. Some people find it easy. I would not myself take that road either. So you and I are kind of sisters in that. But
right.
hoodoo,
definitely.
Have coming from a more Christian background, it does not use animal sacrifice as a particular part of it because in Christianity, as it is taught, we understand Jesus paid the price and no more sacrifices. So that's
mm-hmm.
kind of made it copacetic with me, too. But
right.
that doesn't stop us from cursing. Oh, no. That doesn't stop us from cursing. And justified revenge, tormenting, that's your thing. So I'd like you to tell a little bit about this book and what's in the book. I mean, I know what's in the book because I edited it. It's a fantastic book. But from your perspective, what brought you to doing this book?
Who brought me to do this book?
No, what made you say, go, my first book, as Nagashiva said in the chat, a nurse who can curse? Because we all know you're a nurse.
the curse.
The cursing nurse.
What brought me to write the book on cursing is because, well, there were many reasons. I haven't seen anything in great detail that, you know, has been published. The things that I have seen, you know, I don't know if I can say this on the radio show, but I'll say it. I wasn't impressed. I would see spells that they would tell people to do things without protecting themselves, without any thought, without anything. And it was all wrong. I mean, the only thing that I saw ever that was correct were your spells, Kat.
Oh,
so
well, thank
that's
you.
What brought me to do this, you know?
Well, you
now,
know, you and I discussed it because we I did send you some of the books that we carried that were about cursing, and you were like, this is it? This is it?
I know. You sent me one book that was about 10 pages, and it cost $10. It cost you $10 to send me that 10-page book.
Right.
And I read in 10 minutes, and I couldn't believe my eyes. That was the day I called you, and I said, why did you send me this piece of garbage, remember?
That's right. That's right. Well, as Nagashiva is pointing out in the chat, the Harry Hyatt interviews, and he interviewed 1,600 African-American practitioners and professional root workers in the 1930s through the 1970s, he did collect a lot of curses. And they fall into certain patterns. And one of the wonderful things about your book is that you really honor that tradition. There are dozens and dozens of these, which are buried. Hyatt had everything, and it's in very chaotic condition. It's all sort of, you know, a little bit of this, and then he changes the subject, a little bit of that, because he published the books one at a time when he could afford to publish them. He never knew which book would be the last, and they show it. They never were fully edited into one continuous stream of thought. So it takes a lot of work to go through them, but there are beautiful spells of old, old-style African-American cursing in those Harry Hyatt books, and I am so happy that you brought these out into the world in nice, readable English, real concise, there they are. Plus, you yourself, Miss Aida, are known as the Skull Candle Demon, and we've had you on the show before with Skull Candle work, and you are the one. That's why that skull is on the cover. More than anyone, I would say that Contraband Ali really began to pioneer the revival, and I'm going to call it revival because Skull Candles have been around for decades, but Contraband Ali did a workshop on Skull Candles to influence people's thoughts, and that was a number of years ago, wasn't it, Ali? When was that?
That was 2 years ago, I believe. Three years ago.
But that came out of your work in the Lucky Mojo Forum for at least 2 years before that. Right?
Yes.
And he was writing about using skull candles to influence people's thoughts. And then Miss Aida went, let's use skull candles to curse. And they've been used that way, again, for years. But Aida is the one who really put it into focus with her first her power drills and now her soldering irons, her nails, her needles. Holy moly. The whole book could have just been written about skull candles to curse, but there's so much more in it. There's a whole chapter on cursing with feces. There's a whole chapter on cursing with graveyard dirt of the dead who died badly. There's a whole chapter on goofer dust. So, now, Aida, let me ask you a question. If I was coming to you as to a worker, because this is something all us workers deal with, I want someone to do a curse for me because I don't want the karma. Right. What do you say to a person like that?
Well, I mean, if they assume that there's a karma, my first suspicion would be, is the curse justified? Right? Why would...
Right.
Karma basically means what goes around comes around. Right? So... The karma, the cursing, you know, that would be the karma. That would be the actual karma. If someone did me really, really wrong and, you know, killed my cat or, you know, threw dynamite at me, then my karma in my eyes would be, you know, the justified revenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I just want to curse somebody because they looked at me the wrong way, or they said they called me a bitch, which, by the way, I'm called that name very frequently, you know, then of course there's going to be karma because I did something horrible without justification.
So
and that's why
saying,
it's so very important that
justification.
Right. These people, you know, a lot of people, I want you to curse so-and-so, but, you know, I don't want a reading. Well, that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. We don't just curse indiscriminately.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, this brings up a really important aspect of cursing in general. So I actually see hoodoo curses falling into a few categories. Blocking roads, right, which people think is quite mild, but if you've ever had your roads blocked, you'll know that it's messed up, right? Everything falls apart. Everything you attempt to do just falls apart. I mean, it's bad. Infecting, which is usually laying down some type of powders or whatnot, or making people ingest. This often involves some form of physical illness as well, making people physically ill. Damning, which is to call upon complete and total destruction of a person. And hounding. Hounding is an old term that's often used in North Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia, and it involves sending a spirit after someone. And it's called that because more often than not, it's either a spirit of the dead or a hellhound that would be called up at the crossroads. But the core of all of these is righteousness, right? Hoodoo is deeply rooted in Christian cosmology that believes, and it's very biblical in that sense, that believes in a righteous God who will seek out justice, right? In many ways, this comes out of the experience of the Israelite people of whom Black Americans deeply associated themselves with, right? The experience of a people losing a homeland, the experience of a people facing oppression. And so we don't curse because we feel like it. We don't curse because, oh, you know, so-and-so cut us off on the streets or on the road. No, we curse because our hearts are filled with righteous rage, with righteous anger against injustice, against cruelty. The oldest form of hoodoo crossings and cursings were done against plantation masters who were cruel and violently abused slaves. And from there sprung out a whole series of curses dealing with people who are oppressive, dealing with people who have done you wrong. And so I always tell people that you're taking your petition before God. You better not be petty about it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And, you know, this is a very important thing. I just had a client, customer came in yesterday, and she and I were talking. I was cleaning up the railroad layout, and she wanted to talk, so I said, just sit down by me, and I'll talk. Basically, I gave her a root work consultation while pulling weeds. But she was from the Caribbean island of St. Vincent, and she was talking about how things had been done to her in the past and by family members, and how things were being done to her in the present by a coworker who had really been moved into a position of authority he should not have had, and it had created a great deal of problems. And it was very interesting to me. The family members, all she said was she wanted to quiet them and settle them. But the boss, the new coworker who is now assuming power, she didn't care if he was to live, die, get another job, or get run over by a truck, because he wasn't family, and because he had really crossed some boundaries. Whereas her family, she understood, well, they were jealous. She'd come to America. They had not been able to. So a curse is not just a one-shot kind of like you put all your power and it's always about killing. As I said, she wanted to settle her family back down, and in the end, she picked a spell that would be kind of like, sugar them up or else, you know, like let them just calm down and let them have their nice way, but don't bother her no more. But the boss, that person had really crossed a line and was doomed. So, and we all find our own justification where we do. I draw the line. For instance, if someone comes to me and says, my husband's having an affair and he got his side chick pregnant and I want you to cause a miscarriage and have the baby die. I won't do it, because I just won't be doing
yeah.
that. But and I've even had them say, well, if you won't kill the baby, will you let it be born deformed? No.
Oh, my God.
We get asked
That's
all
terrible.
Kinds of questions. I know it is. Now, there are spells to do it, but what I tell them is, if you believe in that so much, it's between you and God, you do it.
You know, in the book, I've quoted the Bible in Exodus, you know, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You know, the revenge it has to be even with the crime. It just
That's
has
right.
to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, there are instances when we call on spirits and we tell them, you know, what happened. And this is also discussed in the book is, you know, why, you know, how to call on entities, what entities to call on, and what to tell them. You know, tell them, you know, Joe killed my cat and blah, blah, blah. You know, he did this and that to me. And, you know, you're justifying your work to spirit and you're receiving their pity and, you know, for other reasons also. But sometimes spirit will say, you know what, this particular curse isn't strong enough. So spirit may make a decision that is, they rule stronger than what your intent is. And I'll give you an example. One time I did a breakup spell, and I plan to write about this in my next book. I did a breakup spell, and I didn't say anything other than, please, you know, to break up this couple, because the guy was such a nasty son of a bitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my spell was to break them up.
Mm-hmm.
That was my verbiage. That was it. He ended up in prison.
Mm-hmm.
So you see,
mm-hmm.
there's instances where spirit says, you know what? Yeah, the breakup isn't strong enough. Let me help you out. So, you know,
right.
That's why it's kind of cool to call in entities and to call in God or whomever you want to call, because, you know, sometimes they'll give you more help than what you anticipated, and it's a great feeling.
You know, that's really, really true. I'm going to tell you one of my favorite ways to curse people is to just call upon a mirror to mirror things back. I like reversing spells, and there are some mirror spells in your book, and some people say, "Oh, these are weak because, oh, you know, it's not like you
mm-hmm.
you haven't
they're
made
not
a
doing
doll
it right
down.
If they think it's weak."
Yeah, they go, "Oh, it's weak. You haven't made a doll and stabbed it with 13 needles and set its hair on fire and then thrown it in a deep pit with dog shit and, you know, things like that." And I go, no, a mirror spell is not weak. But when I'm working for clients, I often will do a mirror spell because I know I can't go wrong with justice just with a mirror spell. I will never
mm-hmm.
go over the line. Now, there are people who call on me for something stronger, and I usually will tell them, this is as strong as I will go unless I really know the situation. And when I say no, I mean I'm going to look up and go into the news and go into mugshots.com. Did this guy really commit that crime? Did this
mm-hmm.
woman really do that terrible thing? Because I don't always take the client's word for it. Sometimes the client,
mm-hmm.
you know, is a little tricky themselves, and they'll say, well, you know, this guy deserves death. And when I look into it, I go, not so. And so I will do a mirror spell. Now, that is my preference. Everyone works different. And Nat Stein in the chat room, and I want to thank Nat for bringing this up, said, the intranquil spirit gets called on a lot, perhaps when it's not really needed. And this is true, too. The intranquil spirit is a group of spirits, or any intranquil spirit, who wanders between heaven and hell and is never satisfied, never stuck in hell, never reaches heaven, and will do your business for you to cause people to wander and be distraught. And people will use this intranquil spirit. But, and here's something I want to bring to Aida's feet, when people call on a spirit, they need to know that spirit really wants to help, because people think they can command a spirit. They'll go, I'm going to get the intranquil spirit to make my ex-lover suffer.
I hate
instead,
that.
They're more powerful
than an entity.
Right. They are preyed upon, and it may not even be the intranquil spirit. They may get some demon who says, oh, you want an intranquil spirit? Here I am.
Exactly. Or you get people who say, I will call on anybody who will help me. I hate that verbiage.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Then they call me for help. Oh, my God, I've got all these things going on in the house. Well, yeah, you called on anybody.
Yeah, never give an open
you're
invite
calling
to
on.
Spirit. Never give an open invite to spirit. It's a very bad move. The infinite spirit, which you know, is, first of all, a spirit who they themselves were wronged. Right. So this the history of the intranquil spirit is actually a very tragic one. It's not just about love. It's a spirit that was wronged and seeks justice in that regard. And so I don't actually consider the intranquil spirit a strictly reconciliation spell. It's a love curse. And that's a particular brand of cursing that emerges out of the wronged heart. Right. Particularly women who have been mistreated and wronged, who have been left pregnant, who have been abandoned, things along that way. Not in the sense of like, oh, he broke up with me and now he's moved on. That's not being wronged, right? It's when he's done you nasty. And that particular brand of cursing is found in a lot of folk traditions, in Latin American traditions, in Brujeria, for example, you have the intranquil spirit, as well as working with a frog. You find it also in hoodoo. Mississippi in particular has a rather like robust culture of love curses that does involve harm to animals, I should say. Not that many people know about it anymore, not that many people use it anymore. It's fallen out of favor because they tend to be quite gruesome spells. But it does exist in hoodoo as well. But the key here is that it is a type of curse, that it is a type of asking for torment or torture or pain or suffering against someone else that you're working on. And if you're going to curse someone, you better know what you're going to do. You can't call on the intranquil spirit and then go, but I really, really love him, and I hope that we all get back together, and it's going to be great. No, you've sent the spirit to go torment that dude, right? It's not going to work out nice.
Yeah. My book doesn't cover the intranquil spirit at all. I mean, I didn't want to mess with it, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
you do have a chapter on spirits in general, though. Now, I'm going to talk about a couple of There's a couple of topics here, and we have a few minutes, and I'd like to just cover some of the topics that are in this book because I don't think people really understand the depth of this thing. Mm-hmm. There's a whole section on cursing the body, and this includes, you know, the use of flies and, oh, my gosh, all types of, you know, things to do. I mean, it's just amazing stuff, right? Then there's cursing in bottles and jars. Now, a lot of people like these because they're very contained. Oh, a vinegar jar to sour people. But this goes way beyond your old vinegar jar. There's one here called Death in a Potted Plant. And there's a destruction jar. There's an old one from 1937, Crooked Roots and Still Water. So those are in bottles and jars. Cursing with candles. Of course, a lot of people think that's the be-all and end-all. But oh, no. Cursing with doll babies and effigies. Cursing with eggs. Now, people think of an egg as a symbol of fertility, but spoiling an egg is a curse.
Yeah,
and there are hundreds of egg curses in this world, and Aida, you've got a bunch of them. And then cursing with the evil eye. Now, the evil eye is usually considered jealousy, but you can also what's called throw a whammy by looking at people, and that's how to do it. Cursing with feces, cursing in food and drink, what we all know about sneaking a little bit of evil into someone's food. Cursing the foot track. This is the old magic that I love so much. Whipping the foot track, moving the foot track, sending the foot track to God knows where. Cursing in a freezer, cursing the genitals, cursing with goofer dust, cursing with graveyard dirt, cursing with incense. Now, who would have thought of that? Because incense is kind of religious and spiritual, but no, you can curse with incense. Cursing with mirrors, cursing with playing cards, cursing with prayers. Of course, in the book Hoodoo Bible Magic, we have a few of those. Here's some more. Cursing with salt. Again, people think of salt as protective, but it's cursing with salt.
Mm-hmm.
Cursing in a sweet gum tree. Now, Ollie will know this. There's a whole family of curses that are only carried out in a sweet gum tree, a liquid amber tree, and cursing with war water. And then comes what I'd like the last few words here, cleaning up after cursing. This is where this book is so important, because unlike those books that I believe you use the word garbage, Miss Aida, this book tells you how to protect yourself before you start and how to clean yourself up afterwards. But it doesn't give those instructions for every curse. You kind of why waste the time? It gives, there's over 100 different curses in here, but there's one chapter on how to clean up, many different ways of doing it, and there's a chapter on how to protect yourself. I love this book, Miss Aida. It's really dynamic.
You know, I know I only got a couple of minutes here, but, you know, I asked our air members and our forum, you know, our moderators if they had any spells. And, you know, the Lucky Mojo community, they're such sweet, nice people. And you should have seen some of the powerful shit they sent me. I mean, it was like, holy crap, strong, strong spells. Of course, there's you, Susan Barnes, Deacon Millett, Troll Towerhead, the Grand Mufti of Satanism, Professor Ames, Dr. Johannes, Nathan Steininger, who is Nat Stein on the Lucky Mojo Forum. He has a doozy in that book. And Professor Charles Porterfield, sweetest guy in the world. Wow! Candelo Kivita, Miss Robin Apollo Dark, and Brianna Sassi, Nagashiva Ironwood. And I got great help from Phoenix LaFay's book on altars. So, you know, a lot of these people contributed to the book, and they have powerful spells that totally floored me. And I just want to say one other thing, and I know is Gray Townsend. Oh my
mm-hmm.
God. He drew the skull candle or the skull on the cover. And then on page 40, if you remember, Kat, we were negotiating what I wanted on that skull candle.
Mm-hmm.
And he drew it. He drew everything I wanted, and I just started crying. I cried. It's just masterpiece.
Yeah, it is. This is it's a anatomical drawing of a skull with a brain superimposed on it, with all the lobes of the brain marked out, showing where to stab your skull candle to get different results, such as the frontal lobe, personality, judgment, speaking and writing, body movement, intelligence, and so forth. It goes, you know, the temporal lobe, understanding language, the brainstem, breathing and heart rate. This tells you where in your skull candle to curse them. It's fantastic. And yes, Gray did
eight
a good
pages.
Job. But you're,
eight pages.
Yeah, eight pages. But you are the thinker behind this one, and this is beautiful work. Well, there's our
thank
music.
You.
I thought I heard it. So we're going to have to move along, and I really want people to buy this book. I think you're going to all love it. It's called, again, one more time, the name of the book, Cursing and Crossing, Hoodoo Spells to Torment, Jinx, and Take Revenge on Your Enemies by Miss Aida, published by Lucky Mojo 2017. It's a fantastic book. All right, we're going to now go to our readings, and we're going to turn this over to Papa Newt.
I have to say, I proofread the book. It's phenomenal, so do purchase it. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Miss Aida, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phone and take our first caller. Our first caller is a first-time caller calling in from area code 916 in California. This is Trinity. Trinity, are you there? Hello, Trinity.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, hello, hon. Welcome to the show. Now, looking at your information here, I see you have not had any private readings with Ms. Kat or Conjurman Ali or have gone to any other readers or root workers on your situation. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you. And Trinity writes, I want to see about my daughter that has been missing, if you could help find her. Turn it back to you, Miss Kat.
Oh, dear. Trinity, this sounds very serious.
It is.
When you say missing, well, let me ask a few questions. How long has your daughter been missing?
She's been missing since March 30th.
March 30th. And how old is she?
She's 20.
20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. Now, was she living at home with you when she disappeared?
No, she was living with her dad.
She was living with her dad. And she just, where give me, cut the scene for me a little bit. Did she just not show up at work, or did she just not come home one night? What happened?
And that was the thing. She didn't show up for work, and that's why it became a big deal, like, what's going on, because it's highly unlikely for her to not show up to work. She's mm-hmm. one of those persons that are, like, always, you know, even if she's sick, she's always there. So
mm-hmm.
that's when it became a red flag for us to say, what's going on? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, no communication or anything that was happening, so we were very concerned.
I would be, too. And are the police involved in this?
Yes, they are.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask a couple more questions. You're in 916
sure.
area code. Whereabouts is that?
It's an old Sacramento number, but
say.
I'm in Vacaville.
Vacaville. Okay, yeah, I was going to say, I kind of know that. I know that area code pretty well. All right.
Right.
So the police are involved. Now I'm going to ask a couple more questions. You said she was 20. What sign of the zodiac?
She's a Libra, 9/30/96.
A Libra. All right. Oh, dear. Well, I am... I'm very concerned because this is not the normal kind of question. It is a difficult question. It's a painful question for you. My heart just breaks for you. This is a scary situation, obviously. And the longer things
right.
go on with no word, did she have a boyfriend or anybody that she was seeing?
She was seeing someone. The only problem was we weren't quite sure how in-depth the relationship was, because it seemed like it wasn't with men and women have different ideas of how dating or how serious they can be. And at 20 years old, there's a difference in idea of when they're really committed or not. So I don't know at the time the commitment of the two.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just left it as it's not concerning because it wasn't like a big deal, but, you know, every day, like you say, every day that goes by, you know, I kind of wonder about everything that, you know, played a part in her life and wonder if any of those things caused this to happen. So you
mm-hmm.
kind of speculate and speculate all day long, but you get to the point where you're like, I just want some answers. I just want to know what's going on here, and it's just frustrating.
Yeah, I understand, and it must be just terrifying to think that the worst could have happened, and
right.
And yet, you know, you hope that this is just a situation of, hiding out or leaving or not being
right.
in touch. All right. Well, I put down 3 tarot cards, and I'm going to be real frank here. I hate to be the one to say something difficult, but these cards are
right.
not good cards. And so the first card is called the Page of Swords. It's actually a pretty good card. Shows a young, we call her the young adventurous woman. She's rushing out into a field. She has a sword. She's going to go do something, but she changes her mind and she turns back. But she doesn't quite. She just looks back. There is some regret. There are people represented by a flock of birds around. And this is a card that can be a person who went farther away or went farther into a situation than they had backup for. Something didn't quite, something unexpected. It's a card of an incompleted journey. It's a card of something that, well, for instance, it could be a person who changed their mind about what they did, but they don't have a chance here to finish what they were trying to do. The second card is the 3 of Swords, and this is a big heart in the sky with big rain clouds overhead raining on the heart, and the heart has been stabbed with these 3 swords, and this usually indicates heartbreak and sorrow, and it is a card that can mean a lot of tears are being shed, and I'm sure you've shed a number of tears over where is she, where is she.
Yeah.
It indicates three people are involved. Now, the three swords. And those three people, we can look at it two different ways. We could say three people are going to be most affected by this. Oh, you could say her father, you, and the young girl herself. But we also can look at it and say that three people were involved in the pain. And there may be more than that flock of birds and that three of swords. There may be more going on here than just, you know, the boyfriend or somebody doing something to her. There's something here that indicates, though, that this situation is going to take more than one person to solve it. It's going to be a situation that involves some additional pain. It's not over yet. And I guess at this point, with this card, I would say if the police don't have the boyfriend under suspicion, they should be tracing every place that she went. And was she in a car? Was she on public transport? How was she getting around?
She has her own a vehicle that she was getting around with.
And the vehicle has not been found?
No, it has been found.
It has been found. Not good. The Three of Swords says something. This is a really desperate card, but now I got to break the news to you here. The worst card is the last card, and that card is the Tower.
Oh.
And the Tower is a card that shows little tower, like a little watchtower. A mm-hmm. bolt of lightning has come down and broken off the top of it, and people are jumping out of it. I'm going to say, I hate to say this, I feel like this is a bad outcome, and I don't feel good about this. But not only that, with this Three of Swords and the two people jumping from the tower, I don't want to go out on a limb here and say, but I think whoever did this to her may have done this to someone else too. And I would say that this is not, if she is alive, she is in confinement as in a tower. That would be your only hope. But it may be that she's not among the living based on these cards. I really hate to say this, ma'am. I don't even know you. And I just feel so close to tears, but I don't know what to say. This
no.
is not a good outcome, cards. I'm so sorry. And, you know,
no.
don't only go, well, this reader said that, and she's got to be right. I've been wrong before,
right.
But it does look like there may be some true, there's damage here. There's real damage. These are swords cards and then this lightning. That's what I see, and I'm really terrified for her. I do not feel good about these cards. So let me pass this over to Miss Aida.
Okay.
Hello, Trinity. I'm
Hi.
So sorry. I'm so very sorry. Do the police investigate every single person at work? Every single
at
one?
Work?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
There's a man at work who was very, very angry. And I see the death card around him, that he was so angry at her that he wanted her dead. Okay? While Miss Cat was talking, I laid out two different spreads. And I shouldn't have done that, but I just wanted to make double sure. And the first spread that I laid out, and, you know, I'm different than everybody else. I lay out 21 cards because I have to get the whole story. Before you had even told Miss Cat that she's a Libra, I got the Queen of Swords. And then when you said she's a Libra, I was like, oh, no. And they show her looking at ground. And the interesting thing was that they show me a pregnancy around her. So the more you and Kat were talking, I said, you know what, let me put this phone on mute so that I can ask my spirits out loud, because by then I knew her astrological sign by listening to the two of you talking, and I laid out the cards again. And the interesting thing is I had repeats, okay? I got repeats that this has something to do with the pregnancy. I got this man, angry man at work that wanted her dead. I get ground, a lot of ground. And then I get, and I hate to say this, but I get that the police have not done a full investigation. I got someone here not paying attention and not looking hard enough and practically considering it a cold case, and it's only been a month and a half.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And then they're showing me hiding. Now, this is far as I get, other than I have them telling me in three different places, not looking in the right places, not doing a thorough investigation. She is around ground. And it looks to me like it's
like a basement or something, maybe?
I'm sorry, what?
I do you think it's like a basement, like she's in a basement, like how outside? You know how people could have outside basements that has like the levered doors and you would lock it in order to get to be
it
in?
Could
she's
be.
Like,
I'm from Michigan, so I don't know what you're talking about, but
okay.
It could be. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we have our basements the way are upstairs. So hiding. She's been hidden and they're not looking. Now, I do not have the ultimate outcome as death, but in my first house of seven houses, that there's three cards in each house, the first thing I get is an angry man that wanted her dead, who she works with. And that's about as far as I can go. Without the cards, just, you know, trying to connect with her telepathically, a little bit hard to do without a picture of her. But right. The sad thing is I can't seem to reach her. Then again, I don't know her name, you know, but I can't seem to reach her.
Well, yeah. She's been well-known in the media for her being missing. You probably have mm-hmm. seen her picture, just didn't realize it was her.
Yeah. I'm awfully sorry, ma'am, because I don't. Both of us are really not seeing a good outcome to this. I hate to say it.
I know.
And in the chat room, a person named Anima Tormama mentioned the Ten of Swords face down on the ground. We all, you know, we also have little chat room readers too, and I'm very much seeing a tragedy here. I don't see a good outcome. I'm very sorry, and I hate to. I'm not trying to close off the future, but I'm just seeing this for saying. Now we have a couple of minutes for Ollie.
One question, please.
Yes.
I would like her to email me a picture of her with her eyes showing.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay.
What's your,
yeah.
I guess I can
contact,
get your email address.
You can,
now,
we'll put it in the chat room. Contact Miss Aida through Facebook. Just go to Miss Aida and Facebook, friend her, and she, you know, or you can go to missaida.com. Let's move
okay.
on to Ollie because it's his turn. And Ollie, what do you recommend here?
Yeah,
maybe a method
thanks.
To help locate or a method for mm-hmm. soothing the pain here.
I have a few things that I want to say here. First of all, I had the same thing in mind as Ms. Aida. Please contact me privately. I'll actually take on your case pro bono. I do this type of work of locating missing people and helping with these situations a lot. So contact me.
Wow.
You can go to readersandrootworkers.org, ConjureMan only, or just email me at drraven@theconjureman.com, okay? And we'll talk off air about that. This is something very close to my heart. Your situation is very hard, and my heart definitely goes out to you. I want you to hear what we said, but I also don't want you to give in to despair. So you have to hold on, okay? So some quick suggestions.
No.
First, Crystal Silence League. Submit a petition with them, crystalsilenceleague.org, to get people to pray on your behalf. This is a network of people who will pray for the situation. Now, I'm going to give you a working to help location, to get a message out there, to connect with spirit. First, go to the graveyard of where an ancestor is buried. Someone you are close with. This can be a grandmother. This can be someone who you know will help you out, who has the best interests of your family. And pour your heart out to them. Call upon them. Ask for their aid. Gather a bit of their graveyard dirt and leave 3 coins asking for their help. If you cannot get to an ancestor, then seek out the grave of a police officer, one who is good in their work, preferably if you do a little bit of research, someone who's dealt with cases like this before. You're going to take that home and you're going to construct an oil lamp. You can get these oil lamps at Walmart. I think Lucky Mojo also sells mini ones. Get yourself an oil lamp and you're going to put into the well of that oil lamp Althea, angelica root, motherwort, a pinch of tobacco, and you're going to put the graveyard dirt. Then you're going to add a few drops of 7-Eleven holy oil. You can get this directly from Lucky Mojo. Fill this up with its fuel, pray into it, and then light the oil lamp and set it near your door or your window. This oil lamp is something that I've used and I've recommended to clients before. It's to draw someone who is missing, who is lost, who has gone away, back home. It also sends a message out. It says, wherever you are, we're thinking of you. Here's the lamp in the harbor. Here's the light in the harbor. Come back to us. It helps to guide them to you. If nothing else, it will get news to come to you. Be particularly open to your dreams because you've invoked your ancestor. Write down every dream that you have, no matter how inconsequential, because something important may be revealed in those dreams. It's a tough situation. It's very hard what you're going through. I want you to stay strong in this matter. Take what we've said very seriously. These readings are very, I couldn't disagree with them. They're very accurate. Take what we've said, but stay strong, and then contact me privately, and I'll work with you, okay?
Okay, very, thank you.
Thank you, Ollie. This is a very important form of work, a lamp. Keep your lamp trimmed and burning, as the old saying goes. A light will draw. If not her, it will draw news. And I think that's a beautiful, beautiful way of working in this situation.
Is there a day I'm supposed to do that?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Is there a certain day I should do this?
No, you would do this continuously. This would be continuous.
Keep the light going.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to work with moon phases or days of the week. This is an emergency.
Yeah.
Yeah. Contact Ms. Saida and Countryman Ali, and they will help you. All right. I'm so sorry. All right. Let's have Papa Newt come in and give us our next announcement.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 615 in Tennessee. This is Chanel. Chanel, are you there?
Hi, yes, I sure am.
Oh, welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm a little bit nervous because this is my first time ever doing anything like this.
Oh, it's all right. We'll take good care of you. And I see that you have not had any private readings with Miss Kat or Conjumana Lee, but you have gone to another reader on this situation. Is that correct?
Yes, uh-huh. I've actually had a few spells cast, and I've tried to cast a few spells myself, and I guess maybe I'm being impatient. I don't know, but I haven't really seen any type of results.
Certainly. I'll read your situation, and we'll see what we can find for you. And you're
okay.
Right. I need help bringing someone that I love very much and want them to be a part of my life. I casted my own love spell and requested spells to be cast. I have not seen any results. I would like a free reading to see if he's going to be in my life. Turn it back to you, Miss Kat.
Oh, hi. All right. I have a question. When you say, I need help bringing someone that I love very much and I want them to be a part of my life, is this someone you already know or are you just looking for new love?
No, it's somebody that I've known for about a year and some months now.
I see. And this person, do they have anybody else? I mean, are they free? Would they be free to be with you if they could?
Yes, they would. Well, currently, the situation is that he was married for 13 years, but his wife left him about a year. I'd say about a year and some months before I met him. I met him in like 2015, and before that, his wife of four kids, she left and took the kids. He has been diagnosed with like major depression and anxiety, so I know some of that has to do with the situation that he's going through. So when she took the kids, I think that's stopping him from moving on with his life.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you there because if you keep talking, we won't be able to do your reading because we only have a few minutes. That's all right. I think I understand the situation. I am going to ask a couple of more questions. What sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm Scorpio.
And what sign of the zodiac is he?
I think he's Aries because he just had a birthday April the 19th, just this past week,
That's it.
I think he's Aries.
All right. Okay, so we're going to turn this reading over to Conjurman Ali.
Thanks, Ms. Kat. I've pulled a few cards here, and I'm going to tell you what your chances are for drawing this person back. First, you said that you did some work a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago roughly. I'm going to say be patient, okay? When you do work, you can't get impatient with the work, right?
Right.
It's like putting a pot of water on to boil, and you keep lifting the lid. You're letting out that heat. You've got to be steady, knowing that what you've done is going to work in your favor or that you are headed in the right direction. So have some faith in what you've done, okay? That's very important. So I don't want you reaching for 20 different candles in this process. Right?
Okay.
That's
right.
A killer when it comes to love magic. People do 20 different things and like, well, it's not working. I did a doll baby and I did a skull candle and then I did like this one other candle and I'm like, well, hold on a minute. What are you doing? So that's the first thing. Let's come from a place of confidence. I want you to be confident. Now let's take a look at what your chances are here. And I'm going to tell you that where he is in his life, it doesn't look like you're going to have a strong chance of a long-lasting relationship. That doesn't mean that you two can't grow closer together or there isn't a chance, just that there's a lot of hurdles along the way. The very first card I have is the King of Cups. Now, you preempted me a little bit when you said that he was diagnosed with depression or certain mental health issues. I was going to ask you about it, so the card is not too predictive anymore because you've already mentioned it. But the King of Cups speaks to a man who is out in the middle of the ocean. This is a monarch, the only king in the entire deck, whose throne is not on anything solid. They're out in the middle of tumultuous waters. he's not on solid ground right now. Emotionally, he's going to be up in the air and down a little bit. He's going to be all over the place. His intentions are good. This is not a bad man in any way, shape, or form. But where he is in his life is a bit uncertain, and that makes it difficult for him to have a real relationship with you. So bear that in mind, that if you take this person on, you're going to spend a good portion of your time as his healer, as his nurse, as his who kind of guides him through the emotional, navigating his emotions. So that's very important to recognize. Second we have is the Five of Swords. This is a man who has been disarmed and wounded. You said that his kids have been taken away. Well, I see it very clearly in the Five of Swords. This is a card that shows us a troublesome individual who has disarmed two people and they're looking on mischievously. He's preoccupied with his circumstances. This is a man who's still licking his wounds. It may be a few years, it may have been a year and a half since this has all happened, but he's still licking those wounds. And that means he's not quite where you need him to be in order to have a solid relationship. Finally, we have the Three of Wands. The Three of Wands means you can have victory. You can eventually get this man, but it's going to take a lot longer than you expected. This is a person who is seeing their investment return as they lean on a staff, two more all around them. You and him can end up in a relationship in the way you desire, but it's not going to happen anytime soon, and it's going to be very taxing on you. You're going to have to play multiple roles there. Nurse and ally and friend and person he can talk to, and possibly eventually mother. So there's multiple roles that you'll need to adopt, and that's going to be very difficult for you. It may be one-sided for a very long time. I don't see this happening this year even. So this is going to be, when we're thinking of length, we're thinking pretty long a time. You should also be aware that given the configuration that I have, King of Cups, Five of Swords, and Three of Wands, this tells a story. This is a man who is going to be desperate during that period where he is at his lowest, when he is at his most unstable, which will probably happen in late summer or early fall. She may return into his life in a significant way, giving him false hope. Not in the sense of, oh, let's get back together, but she may offer him something, whether it's an opportunity to see his kids more often, an opportunity to reconnect in a more serious way, or some form of peace offering. She's going to return and give him hope, only to dash those hopes again, so he's going to sink even further down. And that's why we have that Three of Wands, is that the worst is yet to come. He's still going to face another bump along the way, and you're going to have to be asking yourself if you're willing to take that on, if you're willing to do all that extra work for this man. So I do see hope here, but it's hope that is a light in a very, very distant tunnel. That's what I see with my reading. We're going to have Miss Aida come in and offer further insights, and then Miss Kat will give you root work recommendations.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
Okay, yeah, hello?
Sorry, I can't remember if I have it on mute or if I don't have it on mute, and my phone doesn't tell me. I'm getting a lot of what Conjure Man Ali has said. It shows me that, you know, he's under great turmoil, that he's avoiding everybody, that he's like a hanged man, and he doesn't know. It's almost like he's catatonic, you know. He mm-hmm. just doesn't know what to do and is unable to help himself. And they show, you know, he's avoiding family, he's conflicted. Now, he's also undergoing severe financial difficulties. Okay? He has thought about you. He has looked back and thought about you. So it isn't like you're out of sight, out of mind completely. So when mm-hmm. I see that he's looking back at you, you know, that tells me something worked. You know, it may not have been the sequential, my personal sequential preference, you know, and you know, I'm not in the spell advice section or portion of this reading, but, you know, maybe Miss Kat will consider, you know, healing and courage. So he's just got a lot going on. And then we see that he just He's catatonic. He's just paralyzed. I mean, no matter what he says, no matter what he thinks, he just, he can't move. He can't think. He can't seem to make the right decisions. He's scared. And as a result of that, he's mad at himself. And then he says, you know, I don't want to talk to anybody. But, you know, I see something happening way off in the distant future. Way off.
Okay.
And that's
see, I know, and that's so strange because I know all this. I know he's hurting because of his kids going away. I know everything that you are saying, y'all hitting it dead on because I feel the same way. I feel like he can't move because of everything that's going on in his life, and I just want him to use me to be able to move on. I want to help him. I want to heal him. I want to do good for this man because I feel like I'm a good woman for him, and I do want him to see that, but I just don't know how to break that barrier for him to see that, to know
he's scared. I mean, how would you like to be in a state of helplessness like this? He's scared.
Mm-hmm.
I feel terrible
mm-hmm.
for him.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I want to help him, but I don't know how to let him know. You don't have to be scared. Take my hand. Don't be scared. It'll be all right. But I don't know what to do.
Oh my God, I just feel like crying. Oh Lord.
I know he's scared, and I know I feel it. I know he's scared to move on because he was married for 13. That was his way of life, 13 years with this woman and 4 kids, and then she just walks out on him and takes the kids. And
mm-hmm.
it has just paralyzed
his whole
him.
Life.
And that was his whole life, and I know that. But I just feel that I could be this good woman. I could be supportive. I could be supportive to him because I know his condition. I'm willing to be that foundation for him and be that strong woman to understand him. But just getting to him to move on from that is hard, and I know this, and I know that's why sometimes he doesn't talk to me. He pushes me away because he's scared, and I don't know what to do.
Right.
And
right.
I guess it's just
well,
a matter of
well, I just want to tell you, if I were a man, I'd marry you because you're a good woman.
And he said that. He
well.
Told me I'm a good woman. He's told me that. He says you're a good woman. You're strong. But I could see it in his eyes when I'm around him. He's scared, and he just
well,
he's strangling.
You know, he's like a little dog that got hit too many times, and now he's cringing. You know.
Yeah.
Vicki Trancho, who's a regular listener of our show and always has something to say in the chat room that's wise, said he's not ready. And this is Kondraman Ali also said Queen of Cups. She's there when the tide goes and comes. That's so true. And I'm going to read something else. Miss Michael said. Miss Michael said something very wise. She's a member of AIR, long time reader and root worker, and a co-author of a wonderful book called Hoodoo Bible Magic. Miss Michael said, one thing I've learned from clients is that people don't necessarily fall in love with their healers or rescuers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true. Now, I'm going to try to give you some root work advice. And Miss Michael and I are women of a certain age and kind of our minds think alike. Here's where you may end up not ending up with the man as your lover, but what we're seeing is some time passing. The card, the Three of Wands that Ali had, really spoke to me because you mentioned that you cast your own spells. And this is a card that shows the card of the magician. It's the same person who is the magician card, but we see him from behind, and his clothes have been tattered and torn, but he's repaired them very neatly, and he's done magic, but even when it failed, he just kept on working. And at the 11th hour, at sunset, whatever we say, at the last moment, he begins to see some reward. But what I see here is that you may not have that reward in a timely manner. Now, I would, if I were you, consider this. Consider, and I know that this sounds like a weak position to take, but it's the best position from my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Offer your love to him, but offer it through the world of helping, healing, and getting him back to a healthy situation. You may not be the one he goes with, but you can't both say, I need you, I want you, and let me heal you. You can't ride two horses at the same time that are going in slightly different directions, you're going to be split in half. And to work selflessly to heal him, to work just from your heart, I will do what it takes to heal him. If when he is restored, he notices you, then you get him. But you have to do it from such a pure heart that if he doesn't notice you and he finds somebody else and says, hi, I'd like you to meet my new bride, that you know you did what you did with no end in sight and with no goal in sight. So this is on you. If you just say, I want to seduce this man right now, it ain't going to work because he's too broken right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take what Nagashiva in the chat room called a selfless role. And do the work strictly from the standpoint of healing a little broken bird, you know. And if that bird then comes to stay with you, that's all well. But if the bird flies, then you can go find somebody else. But do not do this, and I'm going to say this, do not do this for more than 3 years.
Okay.
The reason I say 3 years, he was in a marriage for 13 years. Well, half that time is seven and half that time is three and a half. Now, how long have you been working on him?
Since we met in 2015.
So it's been 2 years already, or a year and a half?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, count 3.5 years from when you started, and then work with your full heart up to that level and say, I've done everything I can to help heal him, to be his friend, to be there and talk with him. But he may be broken, and you may not be able to heal them. Now, I'm going to give you a real quick spell, and I'm sorry here because we're spending a lot of time on this, but on the theory of it. But let me get to the practice of it.
Okay.
I want you to get a white candle. It can be a plain white candle, a pillar candle, but you don't want a glass one. It has to be something where you can look at the wax. You can get a white candle of a man. If you've ever had sex with him, get a white naked man candle. If you've never had sex with him, get a white man in a suit candle. Carve his name on it. And on it, underneath it, you're going to write your petition prayer, which is, show me all the love you will have. Show me a sign. You just put it in your own words. Show me what you really intend to be. And you're going to dress that candle with a little healing oil, a little blessing oil, and you can also put onto it a very small amount of come to me or love me oil. But you really want to do healing and blessing. And you say, I want you to be healed in every way and show me a sign. And that candle is so simple. Just let that candle burn. Watch it burn. Watch the flame and see what happens. If you have a dream that night, mark that dream down. If you have any phones while it's burning, you seem like a lady who knows this work a bit. Now, you can put a circle around this candle of some love herbs if you want, but I wouldn't. I want to see what you can do for him and what he wants to tell you. Let him tell him, speak your truth to me. And what if he says to you, oh, you know, you're my best pal. I'm always going to like you. Boy, I'm really waiting to date again. Take it for what it is. If he says, you know, being with you is just almost like being at the home I used to have, I'm afraid to mention it, then just say, don't be afraid, I'm here, you know. But do not count on anything soon. This is a long-term proposition, 3 years. It don't work more than 3 years on it because you have your own life. And be his good friend. He may never recover, but I think he will. 3 years is what the Three of Wands says. You see, that's why I said 3 years. Now you can look up some spells for new love, and you might want to put a little bit of a crucible of courage oil in with that too. All right.
Okay.
Anybody else have anything? Well, there's our music. All right. Well, we got to move along, but I hope that was able to help, and I think you're a good person for trying. Yeah. Just get yourself clarity on the situation. All right, we're going to turn this over to our chief engineer, and then we're going to have a word from Papa Newt.
Hey, The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candela's Corner with Candela Cavisa, Michael Carell, and Lady A, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. On Sacred Ground with Kyer Mond and Paige the Fear You, Wednesdays 3 to 4:30. Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Thank you, Troll Towelhead, Chief Engineer of the LMC Radio Network, for bringing us those announcements each and every week. And now it's time for our free spell segment with Miss Aida of MissAida.com in Detroit, Michigan. Take it away, Miss Aida.
Hi. We're just going to do a tarantula pussy. And what we'll need is...
That's
a great way to introduce myself. Hi, we're doing a tarantula pussy. And what we're going to need is a black vulva candle. And if you don't have black, white will suffice because white is a neutral color, which can be used in lieu of any other color. And a soldering iron, which you can get at your hardware store anywhere from $10 to $20, sometimes even a little cheaper if they're battery operated. A little piece of tarantula exoskeleton. Target's personal concerns. And by the way, our Cursing and Crossing book has all the ways to acquire personal concerns and what they are. Crossing oil, destruction incense, 3 heated coffin nails, and a picture of your target if you have it. So with the soldering iron, you would make a hole into the entrance of the vagina. Make sure that you work outside when you're working with a soldering iron. Always work outside because soldering irons emit toxic chemicals. And you can save the wax. The wax must be saved. You can have a little dripping pan or a little metal cup because it won't be a much. It won't be much. Now, the other thing I want to say is when working with tarantula exoskeleton that you ought to wear gloves because otherwise your hands are going to itch. And you can insert pieces of the tarantula exoskeleton into that hole and the target's personal concerns, whatever you have. Vaginal secretions are great, but, you know, it's kind of hard to get. Any type of personal concern. Okay, then we take the wax that we've saved and we seal the hole. Now, we can either use a little cooking syringe or a little funnel, little metal funnel that fits right into that hole, but you just, you know, immediately pour that wax back in. And then what I do is I take my thumb and I press into it to make sure that the candle is smooth, okay? Now you can inscribe your candle if you wish. You can write name. You can write your command on it, whatever you decide to do. Then you would anoint the candle with crossing oil. Now in my book, you know, I always stress, I've done it in a couple of places, that when we use oil and we roll it in incense, we're to do it immediately because the oil, when it's, you know, it's brand new out of the bottle, it will, you know, things will adhere to it right away. So we immediately roll this candle in destruction incense. then with tongs, take your nails, your coffin nails, one at a time, and heat it, and then stick it into the vagina candle. No, don't do it to the side. You know, the Lucky Mojo candles are anatomically beautiful. They have labia, everything. So make sure you jab that right where it hurts, okay? So we do that three times, and then we take the picture, and we can put destruction oil on that picture also while we state our curse, and then put the vagina candle over the picture, light the candle, and go for it. Say your prayers or say your curses. And that's the spell.
Wow.
Now,
let's say a little thing about tarantula exoskeletons. Everybody who comes to the Hoodoo Heritage Festival is going to get a vial with a piece of tarantula exoskeleton in it. And folks, we're not going to be responsible for any itching that you undergo afterwards. You must handle these with gloves. They are barbed, weird. They sting like nettles. It stings sometimes for minutes or hours. Mm-hmm. We are talking serious tarantula stuff, okay? And when you put that inside the lady's pussy, Miss Aida, what happens to the lady's pussy, Miss Aida?
Oh, my God. It's going to itch and burn and hurt. It's going to feel like gonorrhea, baby.
That's right. Tarantula pussy. Now, I'm gonna say, too, and those three nails, and like you said, just because it's a big old hunk of candle, don't put those nails on the outside. You want to put them where they hurt. I would definitely put one at the clitoris, right? Wouldn't you?
Oh, God, yeah. That's the most sensitive area. I don't know if anybody knows it. I know you know it, Kat, because, you know, you're in the medicine. But, you know, a penis is just a modified clitoris. So
that's
we
correct.
Have the same sensations.
That's right. That's
and
right.
The same sensitivity.
So, that's right. So exactly. So, and in fact, as the doctors say, the clitoris came first. The penis is just an expanded version of a clitoris. A lot
that's
of you
right.
guys are right now shaking your head and going, "What?" Most of you women are going, "Uh-huh, I knew that." So
that's
you
why
want
that
to put
clitoral,
in,
what are those people doing in Africa? They're
oh,
mutilating
the clitorectomies,
them?
Yeah. Yeah, they're where they
mutilate. Oh, that's
got to
hurt.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. You got three heated nails. Use them where they do the most damage. I'm going to tell you, what she's got here, the destruction incense powder and thing. The only thing I would add, because I would, you know me, I'm always going to gild the lily. I'd put that whole thing down on a bed of red pepper powder. You know, just for drills. Why not?
What would
you're
you?
Mean.
I might
have. I love it.
Great work. Really good work.
All right. Well, this is just one sample of what's in the book, "Cursing and Crossing" by Miss Aida, which it's on sale now, and you can get your copy. Hoodoo spells to torment, jinx, and take revenge on your enemies. All right? You heard it here first, folks. This is really something. All right, we're going to turn this over to Papa Newt, who's down in my office, and he's going to give us a few words, and then we're all going to come back and say goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Contraband Ali, and thank you, Miss Aida. MissAida.com in Detroit, Michigan, for being our guest this week. As a reminder, we will have a rebroadcast next Sunday as the 2017 Hoodoo Heritage Festival will be underway. We will return on May 21st with Apollo Dark as our special guest. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at theconjuredoctor.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band. and playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you so much, Papa Newt. I'm going to come down and admire your haircut some more in just a couple minutes. Thank you, Countryman Ollie, for being our co-host.
Always a pleasure.
And thank you, Miss Aida, for being our guest.
Oh, thank you
now,
for having me. I love you all so much.
Now, Miss Aida is going to be coming on out to the festival. So anybody who has not yet bought their tickets, do buy your tickets and come on out. It's going to be quite a show. But if nothing else, be sure that you purchase this new book of hers. It's going to set the world on fire. And we do sell tarantula exoskeletons at the shop, by the way, if you were intrigued by that spell. And as a alchemical artisan, Sour said, I'm so glad you are friends. Oh, yeah, we all stay good friends with Miss Aida. All right, folks. Have a wonderful evening. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Good night.
Good night,
good
all.
Night.
Good night.
Good night.